All right, everybody shut up. I said shut up. Now, are you ready to play the game?
No.
Are you ready to play the game?
Yeah.
The game.
Yeah.
Playing to survive. Aiming to win any way they can.
Yeah, yeah, pass the ball, final casting call. First of all, verbal basketball. Off the glass, smash your jaw, too fast for y'all. You might take a nasty fall trying to stick with the prehistoric passenger.
Foul ball.
All rep.
What's up, guys, and thank you for joining us on the Dome Patrol United Network. I'm your host, Ben, and I'm not drunk. You're listening to the Dome Patrol United Pelicans podcast. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all time, and enjoy the show. Joining me, as ever, for a Pelicans podcast is a long time season ticket holder. Jason, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm probably a two. I made a Tesseract earlier, and now I'm drinking a gnarly barley strawberry Catahoula Common. I've been looking for this around here, and I haven't been able to find it in a six pack in any of the stores around here, but I just happened to be at a gas station nearby the other day, and I saw they had them individual pint cans. So I'm like, well, shit, I've been looking for it for a while, so I bought a couple. So that's what I'm drinking on right now. It's good. It's not an overly strawberry taste. It's just kind of a hint. And I do like the regular Catahoula Common, so I've been looking forward to this beer for a long time, and I'm glad I found it because I really do enjoy it. But yeah, happy times. We finally got a coach.
Yeah, so let's say we haven't done a Pelican podcast for a while. I mean, obviously, the last one we did was when Genji got fired.
Right, yeah, it was when we lost our other coach.
So obviously, the hiring of Stan Van Gundy is the big news. And of course, it was always going to divide opinions. Your immediate reaction was, thank God he's not Kidd.
Yeah, the whole time it's like, just don't be Jason Kidd, just don't be Jason Kidd, just don't be Jason Kidd. I just did not want him as a coach. I was kind of hoping we would have gone for a younger, unproven guy like maybe Sam Cassell or Jerry Stackhouse. I think I really would have been interested in a guy like that. But being able to kind of sit back and look at Van Gundy, you know, he's had three stops as a head coach. Two were successful, one wasn't. The one he wasn't, he was also a GM.
And
usually when you're a coach and a GM, that never works out no matter what sport it is, especially in – unless you're Belichick, it doesn't work out in football. I mean, look at Bill O'Brien, and you know, and even in basketball. So I kind of throw that out the window, and I kind of look at what he did in Miami and look at what he did in Orlando, and he kind of took young teams and kind of was able to kind of teach them and grow. And he was in the Orlando team especially, you know, when he took over, Dwight Howard was 22. And he was kind of innovative in terms of, okay, I've got Howard. He's going to just play Howard and put shooters around him. And, you know, they were able to make a finals one year. Now, they didn't win the finals, but the fact that they made a finals, it was kind of revolutionary at the time. And looking at what kind of the Pelicans' issue is, and the issue has been their defense. I mean, their defense has been atrocious. I kind of looked it up. They scored 125 points, which is a lot of points in an NBA game. They scored 125 points 29 times this year and still managed to lose 12 of those. So
yeah, it's quite remarkable. And early impressions seem to be like, you know, this is a guy who knows how to win playoff games, if we can get into the playoffs, that is. And that's kind of what the Pelicans need next. Is he going to be the messiah to take us to the promised land? Jury's still out. People think maybe he can take us so far, and then we would have to try and hire another coach again. But it's definitely a move I think I'll get behind. I was a little bit worried that maybe this guy wasn't David Griffin's first choice, and as you saw, so many of the vacancies got filled before the Pelicans ones, and the Pelicans probably, you know, lost Gentry before any other teams made their moves, didn't they?
Yeah, we were one of the first ones. Once we got back from the bubble, they fired him, and their first choice, it seems like it was probably Ty Lue. I think that's probably who they were eyeing, and then once he took the Clippers job, it was kind of open. I mean, I do like the fact that they did interview a lot of candidates. I do like that. And I will say, I feel a lot better about this hire. I'm kind of more excited about it than I was when it was announced that we hired Gentry, because I just did not understand the Gentry hire when we made it. I was really kind of disappointed. I don't see that here. And you look at his tenure, he's always, you know, for the most part, he has had a lot of top 10 defenses in the league. And you kind of look at where the Pelicans are, and outside of Drew and JJ, and I guess Favors if we bring him back, it's an incredibly young team. You know, there's still a lot that they need to learn to be better players, to be better professionals. And I think that's where Stan comes in. I think we kind of looked at where we are as a franchise, how we're moving forward. You know, they still got all these draft picks. They've got one first round this year and a couple of, you know, multiple second rounders. And then they've got, you know, the Lakers picks coming up. So there's still going to be a lot of young players coming into the organization. And these guys need to learn the solid fundamentals of being a pro first.
Yeah.
So I think in that sense, I like the Van Gundy hire, because we need to go from where we are now to a playoff team. That's step number one. And that's like, kind of like you said, I kind of look at it as this is kind of a phased process. Phase one, okay, we've got Zion, we've got Ingram, we got Ball, we got Hayes and Alexander Walker, a lot of young guys. Okay, how do we get them to be a consistent competitive team? I think that's where Van Gundy comes in. And like you said, whether he's the guy that gets them all the way to the end, maybe he is, maybe he isn't, I don't know. But I think he is the right guy to get them to that spot to be able to say, okay, you're a consistent playoff team now.
Like you said, obviously, the defense was a big thing. You know, in 11 full seasons, Van Gundy's teams only finished outside top 10 defense 3 times. So, you know, he knows how to protect the rim.
Yeah, and that was the frustrating part. It's like, yes, we were a running gun team and we could score a lot, but man, the defense was just so awful. And at some point, you have to be able to stop somebody, and that was their big problem. And look, Zion too. I know Zion was exciting and he could score a lot easy, but he looked lost on defense. Now, granted, he's a 19-year-old kid. You know, there is, and that's kind of part of it too. Him and Jackson Hayes, you know, they're just young kids. They're not even 20 years old. The teaching aspect is I think what's important for those guys to get them to where they need to be is just so incredibly important, and that's kind of why I like the Van Gundy hire, because I think he's the right guy to do it. And it really helped, you know, JJ Redick said on his podcast that Van Gundy was maybe the best coach that he's ever played for. The team always felt prepared in game and even end game situations, and that was another Achilles heel of this Pelicans team. How many times that we just sucked in crunch time? We just brain farted all over the court. We just.
I'm still having nightmares over that Timberwolves game.
Right? It was killer. It was fucking killer. And that's where Van Gundy will make his biggest difference, is that when we get into that situation again, hopefully, according to his past history and what we hope will, you know, the players will take to him, that's going to be the big difference makers, that we're not going to just not know what the fuck's going on and blow leads at the end of games. We're actually going to close games when we need to.
So do you think you could look at his time in Detroit and kind of write it off as just a one-off bad organization? He was in a bad way there as GM and head coach, kind of had an impossible job there, because then since they've got rid of Van Gundy, they've gone backwards, Detroit, haven't they?
Yeah, I know they have Blake Griffin and he was injured, and they still have Andre Drummond and they don't know what to do with him. It seems like it's kind of, yeah, they kind of need a restart. But that's kind of, you know, his GM decisions just weren't good, and that's kind of what killed them.
Well, that's what Griff comes in.
Right, and that's the thing. He is coaching only, and you know, you've kind of been reading a lot of articles. I mean, it sounds like that's the one thing he can do is coach up guys. Now, they say his act tends to wear thin after a few years. So that's kind of, you know, he signed a 4-year contract. Maybe that's what happens. He, you know, we kind of make a big jump. as he teaches these young guys and we get better, and it's possible, you know, year three or year four, we might plateau a little bit, and that's where we let him go and hire the guy that, that gets us to a championship, maybe. But
fingers crossed.
You know, but we have to get, you know, with so many young guys and so many young guys that'll be coming in over the next couple of drafts, he, you know, we need to learn how to be a good professional basketball team.
I think we'll get there.
Yeah, we should. It helps to have Zion, and just, you know, knock on wood that he stays healthy. I mean, that's the key thing, so he stays healthy.
I still think the Pelicans was just one of the most attractive jobs out there in the NBA. Obviously, the Clippers job came available, but the Pelicans job must have been up there, one of the most attractive. Sure.
See, I don't understand why, unless like Doc Rivers, why he picked Philly. Like, yeah, Philly's got some talented players, but man, there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of paid veterans. Maybe he's more a veteran guy,
but I don't understand.
I mean, maybe it is. Maybe just nobody just wants to come to New Orleans. I think that has to play a part in it. You know, we're not really an NBA market, even though we have the most enviable roster. Mm. And even the Clippers. Like, if the Clippers fail this year, what if Kawhi bolts? Then they're stuck with nothing, and they traded away all their assets to get Paul George. So if Kawhi leaves and Paul George leaves, they're going to be the worst team in the league with no draft capital to get out of it.
Mm. Do you think that's why Griff and Gabe Benson maybe made this move? Because the guys they actually wanted weren't going to come, because the Pelicans weren't in shape, like brand exposure wise, to compete. And could that be it? And they've gone for a safe hire here in Van Gundy to bring him to a certain level, then try and go and get a guy they really want.
Maybe. I will say it does seem like Van Gundy really wants to be, like, he really wants to be here and really wants to coach this team. So at least he's committed and invested in it. And maybe you weren't going to get that from Lou or Doc or whoever. So I think that definitely factors in.
Well, the fact that he's made the finals, you know, shows that he has got the ability to do it. Obviously, it was in the East, and now he's coaching the West, and we know how much harder it is in the West to make it.
But he definitely has a much better resume than Gentry had when we hired Gentry.
And let's be honest, Gentry had that one brilliant season where we had that little playoff run and we thought we were going in the right direction with him, and then sadly it all bombed off after that. It really fell off a cliff.
Rondo left, and again, look, Gentry's a good guy, a good offensive assistant. He's just a shitty head coach. He just is. Yeah.
Has he got a job yet, or is he floating?
Yeah, he's an assistant with I think with Rivers in Philadelphia.
Oh wow!
Yeah, so which suits him. Like I said, he's a great assistant,
Just not a head coach,
right? I mean, he's just not head coach material, and his history proves that. And I saw, you know, I don't like to watch a lot of ESPN or Stephen A. Smith shit, and I was like, oh, what does Stephen A. think about the Van Gundy hire? And the first thing he said was, well, I really don't like the way Gentry was let go in New Orleans. I'm like, okay, I hit stop and I moved on. It's like Gentry's a shithead coach. Like he was going on about the lack, you know, the fact that Van Gundy's white and there's only a couple of black head coaches in the league. I'm like, okay, yeah, maybe, but Gentry isn't your good example, because Gentry was not a good head coach. You know, he had one winning season with Anthony Davis. I'm sorry, but that's fucking terrible.
It hurts me to see the Lakers win that championship a couple of years.
Look, I was like, fuck, really?
Yeah.
I did not want to see it, but we have their picks. I think we don't get this year's pick, but we get next year's pick. So maybe it's good that they got their championship now, and at some point, maybe LeBron will fall off, or maybe something will happen. And
LeBron's just such a bellend, though, isn't he?
He's such a bitch. His manufactured, oh, I'm not respected. Like, who fucking disrespects you other than Skip Bayless? Nobody. Nobody fucking disrespect LeBron. And for somehow to him to get that narrative out there is just insane to me. Like, for as good a player as he is, and he's a top at least a top five all-time guy. It's just it's bullshit.
Not, he's not that, better than Jordan.
No, no. Look, I am 100% a Jordan guy. No, yeah. I will never not be.
It's my age group of fans that are saying that he's better than Jordan. But I'm sorry. I like seeing a guy do it consistently at one team. I don't like this bullshit hopping around cities, bringing a fucking circus to every place you go and winning it. Create a legacy at one team.
Yeah, and using his association with his agent, Rich Paul, and Clutch Sports, and kind of manipulating and maneuvering players around, like, it's just bullshit to me.
Mm. He's an asshole.
Yeah, I agree. He's great, but he is a fucking asshole, and I'm sorry, he will never be better than Jordan or even Kobe. I still have Kobe ahead of LeBron. As much as I disliked Kobe and the Lakers while he played, I respect him, and I definitely rank Kobe ahead of LeBron.
Yeah, absolutely. Back to Van Gundy quickly. I'm very interested to see a player like Jrue Holiday, his skills on defense and how good he is. And now we've got a proper defensive coach in. How much is he going to excel?
Yeah, and it's crazy that you hear all these trade rumors about Holiday, and I...
Van Gundy would want to keep him around. 100%.
Oh, yeah, well, and Redick as well. You know, the thought was, oh, well, you trade away your two veterans and get picks or get whatever on a different timeline, but... Holiday is such a great guy, and he's a very, very good player that they need, because they're not, they, you know, there's not a lot of defense on this team, especially now with Van Gundy in. I thought they were going to trade him before, but I definitely don't think that they trade him now. And I just think that's a good thing. I just hate all these people that just assume or want to see him traded away. I just
we're
don't.
We're not in a rebuild. We're not in a rebuild. We've got a playoff roster.
We are good enough with the right coach to make the playoffs. Yeah.
Easy. Really?
Yeah. I mean,
if Zion was healthy all of last year, we would have walked into the playoffs.
And even the way we were going before the bubble, with a good coach, we should have dominated the bubble and got into that playoff, that play-in series, and got into the playoffs. We should have. Yeah. For whatever reason, we didn't. I know Lonzo sucked in the bubble. And Gentry's just not, you know, like,
looking back on it, that's probably the best thing that's happened to this team, was sucking in the bubble. I built up for it for ages, wanting the NBA to resume and watch the games. And I was so pissed when they just crashed out the way they did, showing no fight whatsoever. And then Gentry got sacked, and we set back a little bit and watched the rest of the bubble unfold. And I was like, do you know what? I'm actually glad we're out of this. You know, I don't think the players would. Been at that bubble for a long time. They were in that for a very long time. It must have been, I don't know, getting paid very well and looked after very well. But
I mean, that's the thing. They were still getting paid. And it's not like they were at bumfuck resort. They're at fucking the three of the better resorts on Disney World. It's like, you know, you're living a pretty damn good lifestyle. You're still able to get paid, even though it's not your, it might not be your full salary, but it was pretty damn close. You know, you're still getting paid a shit ton of money. I get it. You're kind of cooped up in your room, and that can be weird, but you're getting paid millions of dollars, especially with COVID going on and how many people here have lost their jobs. There just needs to be a little bit of perspective. And I know it's hard for those guys because they're accustomed to all this crap, to just, you know, they live a totally different world than most of the rest of us. But yeah, it did at least sucking in the bubble sped up the process of getting rid of Gentry, because I thought that was the move that had to be made. No matter what happened, he definitely was not the guy.
No,
so
wasn't.
Yeah. So I do hope we'll see who he brings as his assistants. I do hope that he keeps at least Fred Vinson, because he's the one who helped. He helped Ingram with his 3-point shot, and he helped fix Lonzo's jump shot. So that guy for sure needs to stick around. I don't care about anybody else, but that guy needs to stay on the staff, and I hope they do keep him.
I say this. Like I said this before, this is not a rebuild. We are in prime location to go. I wouldn't say make a run, obviously, but we're there where I'd like to see us win a playoff series or two.
Look, they should definitely compete for a playoff spot next year for sure. I know the Western Conference is tough, and this offseason is going to be weird because they're.
When does free agency start?
Well, the draft is November 18th, so free agency will not start until after the draft. But they're talking about possibly starting the season right around Christmas, basically kind of having a shortened season next year, just kind of basically setting everything up.
On track.
Kind of to get back on track and setting it all up for the following. Like the following year is where they really get back to normal. This next year, they kind of have to shorten it because they saw the ratings got destroyed because they bled into football season, and it, you know, they thought maybe that's a good idea, but you know, when they normally have the finals in June, they're all they have to deal with is baseball, and it's easy for the NBA to kind of get the ratings compared to baseball. So and who knows, you know, what the salary cap is going to be with no fans, because even if they start in December, I mean, are we going to have fans at the arena, or are they going to have to start in a bubble? I don't think – nobody really knows yet.
Fans in a New Orleans sports event? Good luck.
Well, we're going to get some this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Are you going this weekend?
I did not get picked in the lottery this week. Although, they finally sent me an email this morning. I would have liked to get that a few days ago just to say, hey, you definitely didn't get it, even though I kind of figured I didn't.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I should – you know, they're supposed to increase to 6,000 in November and then I think 15,000 in December. So I should get at least one of the next three games.
Okay.
But for basketball, I have no idea what's going to happen. So
I
don't know. It kind of seems like they are going to kind of push it through and start at December and just kind of speed through next year. But that means free agency is going to be rushed and weird. I mean, training camp is basically going to need to start right after the draft.
Yeah. So next thing, I suppose Van Gundy's got to sort out. He's got to sit down with Griffin and get a contract agreed with BI, I'd take it.
And yeah, that's the kind of question, because you know, he's a restricted free agent.
Yeah, restricted.
So we could match anything. The problem is, you know, if somebody only offers him a 3-year deal, yeah, we could match it, but then we're only guaranteed to have 3 years, where if we just go out and offer him the 5-year max, at least he's guaranteed to be here 5 years. I know there's uncertainty about the future salary cap, but you can't afford to lose him, and you definitely need to keep him around as long as you can to have him be, you know, him and Zion be 1A and 1B. I think that's the core duo going forward. So he's worth almost, you know, almost the max. Is he a full max? I don't know, but he's pretty
close.
No,
it's just, yeah, he's close to it.
You know, he's close. But again, when you have a guy like this, especially in a small market like New Orleans,
you don't let him go.
Right. You really can't afford to.
No. But you've got also Derek Favors as a restricted free agent as well. I can't see many people coming in for him.
I wouldn't think so. And I think with Van Gundy, you know, as a defensive guy, I mean, look, the team was a lot better with Favors on the floor than without him, especially our defense.
Yeah, I'd like to see Favors stick around this year and then hand the reins over to Hayes. Jackson.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm with you because, yeah, Hayes isn't ready yet, but I think
another year, and I think he might be there, especially with Van Gundy's training.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the smart play. You know,
it's just defense. Hayes is great on offense.
I wouldn't say great. He can dunk. He doesn't have any offensive moves yet, but the kid's only 19, so I can understand that.
You can see the potential there.
Oh yeah, no, he's definitely got potential. I mean, everything that he did this year, it was all based.
He made the highlight.
It was all based on just his athletic ability. That's it. His crazy athletic ability.
Well, that's the number one thing you need straight away: athletic ability. Then you add the little bits around that make them an all-round player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. And he'll as he gets older, you know, that's what NBA guys do. They come in with all this talent and not a lot of skill or training because they only stick around in college for a year. Normally they would get that training in college. Now they just go to the NBA and then they kind of get an NBA. So that, I think that's another reason why I like the Van Gundy hire, is because you got him to teach all these young guys that need it. I mean, all these guys need it.
Yeah, so, even Zion.
Zion needs it. Hayes needs it. Alexander Walker needs it. You know, hell, even Lonzo and Ingram could still use some teaching, especially on defense. For a guy like Ingram, who's got the wingspan that he has, he needs to be, you know, he can be a real lockdown defender if he puts forth the effort. And that's something we didn't have defensive, you know, effort before.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm gonna give the Pelicans, before obviously we've seen any play, but I'm going to give them a solid 7.5 out of 10 for this hire. Like I said, I don't think it's the guy they initially wanted, but they're not in a place where they could go and get that guy yet. So I'm going to give it a solid 7.5.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right. And look, if, you know, it's possible. I mean, they could make a crazy big jump the first year. I mean, who knows?
I think once again, you need to get playoffs this straight away.
Yeah, we definitely can't afford to keep losing. You know, we are, unfortunately, since we've been in New Orleans, for the most part, we've been we had a few runs here and there. We've been a losing franchise. You have to change that. But yeah. I think we have the right guy at the top. You know, we're starting to get the good organization in place. We lucked out getting Zion again. You know, the trade assets for Davis, even though Davis went and won a title with L.A., we got a hell of a lot of assets for him. And we need to make this work. We can't get another. It. You know,
we said it in the last podcast, didn't we? This is the biggest move in the franchise history, is signing this next head coach.
Yeah, we have to develop into a perennial playoff team, a perennial winner. We just have to be a perennial winner. We can't be fucking losers anymore.
Yeah,
we just can't. We can't.
Mm. So cool. Okay. Any final thoughts at all?
Not really. I just, you know, fuck the Lakers for winning the title. It really sucks. I hated to see it. I hate that now LeBron's got 4, and you know, people just want to throw out the GOAT talk and compare him to Michael. But I'm biased. But there's no way, no matter what he does, even as great as he is, he'll never pass Michael. He's not as good. He's all his backroom manipulations and all the bullshit like that. Like that just sours it for me. Like, I'm sorry.
You've got to think, Michael only recruited one superstar, Dennis Rodman. That was the only one superstar that came and joined him.
I mean, and really, like, if you look at it in his, you know, tenure of winning, the only superstars were him and Scotty. Like, yeah, you had some good players.
Scotty kind of, apart from he was traded during the draft, but he came straight to Chicago. It wasn't like he was a superstar elsewhere and then said, oh, right, I want to join Jordan.
Right.
No,
like
he was.
But just know, like, cool. Just the fact that, and I know LeBron does make other guys better, but all this manipulation and, oh, I'm going to get you guys come here and you guys come here and let's do it. It was Michael and Scotty and then just a group around them. But, you know, he made no name guys into good NBA players. And gave them the confidence to make the shot. Like John Paxson made a shot. Steve Kerr made a game winning shot. He was willing to trust those guys, and he did it all in one spot. Didn't pull all this bullshit. Didn't pull all this. Oh, I'm getting disrespected. Well, yeah. Or you know, arguing so much about calls. Like that's another thing. LeBron whines and bitches so much in games about calls. Just, and maybe that's part of the way the NBA is now, unfortunately. But shut the fuck up and play the game, dude. You get enough.
Say the same as James Harden as well. Constantly.
Yeah, like you guys get plenty of calls as it is. Don't bitch like a little pussy. Like, I'm sorry. Just don't do it.
Cool. So that's all the show we have for you right now. We want to thank our little listeners for downloading each week and telling your friends about the Don't Patrol United Network. We only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-point conversion, the instant reaction show from the Don't Patrol podcast. You'll have that tomorrow after the Saints Carolina game. You also have the Dome Patrol podcast, the usual Saints podcast, and you have the Beers and Beer Saints podcast show. You also have a Premier League show from me and James, and you also have the Beers and Beer show, Saints podcast from Dave Romero. So you can follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol US and Dome Patrol UK. You can also follow BS and Beer Saints podcast at BS and Beer Media. Follow us on Facebook for live streams once Jeff sorts his computer out. So just search the Dome Patrol podcast. Eventually the porn will get off his computer and we will be able to live stream again.
Eventually.
So in the meantime, if you want to listen the old-fashioned way, go to Dome Patrol podcast.
Pelicanscoach.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, no Pelicans coach donkeys.
Hello, Jason. It's Jason Van, Stan Van Gundy. It's his brother, Jason.
Stan Van Jeremy.
Stan Van Jeremy. Let's go. Cool. Cheers for that.
Because of passing the torch, puffing pipes with a boost. You a hype, living loose with your life in the douche. You invite many fools when you like chemicals. Night of the living ghouls, your evil makes many booze.
You need to watch what you choose, what you give is what you get. Some are lacking intellect in the quest for a check. Is it love or respect? Does the subject get you vexed? Only four bars direct, the situation is perplexed.
Cause you in constant pursuit to be the last in the house.
Where's your wallet?
With the wife deep stashed in the blouse.
Like without a doubt, you can catch me on the B-side. Cause the one who wins the war
is the one without pride. J5 make you feel a little gaseous at first.
Martin Lawrence.
And yes, I make you ask, is that lurch? Here to try and show lyrical madness that works. Give your cash to the clip.
Five, your ass finish first.
But this is Sue's father. You know, Sue, he always take my old collection. I got a lot of collections of all kind of music, and he would always take my tapes and he played my tapes, and I look for my tapes. I can't find my tapes, and he's got them. Got them in his room, in the mirror. He's singing, he's dancing, and oh man, I used to get so tired of that. But I liked it because I knew that this young man was gonna do something with his singing. He's a good singer. He can rap, but he's a good singer too. He would just tear Al Green up, all my old Fats Domino records. He'd just be, he was good at it. But he's a good rapper, and I'm proud of my son. I'm proud of him, and I'm proud of the fellas that's singing and rapping with him. It's good to see that. I know he could do it.